Thurston County.
Yeah, it seems to be. And then a little bit later on in the show, we have the Yelm Girls likewise building a really nice record despite recent losses to Peninsula and Gig Harbor. Dave, you talked to Coach Lindy Walton about the Tornado.
Yeah, they've been completely dominant in the 3A South Sound Conference. Last year was kind of an interesting year. They played three times against Timberline because they did not have Gig Harbor and Peninsula in the league because of COVID. And every single game, Yelm won in its final at bat. It was kind of a heartbreaking season for Timberline because they were right there. They only lost those games, and they lost to the first place team. So Yelm has been totally dominant in that league recently, but this year they're a little bit off. Don't have quite the talent they sometimes do, and the two schools out of Gig Harbor are much improved. So it's going to be a battle, but Yelm may still make it through districts to state, but we'll see how it goes.
All right, we will look forward to that, and of course we've got soccer, track, and all that kind of fun stuff. Start with baseball, though, and some of the little schools didn't play, and I'm not really sure what happened with Pope John Paul.
Yeah, they didn't play any sports, but we'll talk about when they play and when they return to action. Their baseball team will play on Monday up at Muckleshoot Tribal. Softball travels to Concordia Christian. There's so many of these Christian schools.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, and track and field has a league meet with a bunch of the teams up at, not the league meet for the championship, but just one, including their league schools, up at Franklin Pierce on Thursday. So hopefully all three teams well rested.
All right. And I think Northwest Christian likewise hasn't played in a while, but is scheduled to play, I think, next Tuesday.
Yeah, they play baseball next Tuesday at the Regional Athletic Complex in Lacey against Chief Leschi. And softball has a huge gap. I'm not even going to talk about their next opponent because they're not shown as playing till the 28th. So we'll pick them back up when they get there. They've only played once that I know of, so maybe they've decided to build up before they play any more games. Track will be back in action on Wednesday. That will be part of a 5-team meet over in Eatonville.
Okay, and we'll move up to 2B and the Rainier Mountaineers. I don't think the boys have played since last Friday and have a doubleheader with Toledo on Monday, I think.
That's correct. So you've said all we need to say about that. No results to report. Softball did play last Friday, just a couple hours after our show, and they blasted visiting Stevenson 15-0.
Wow.
And that was the first, game. They have a new playing surface at Rainier for softball, and that was the first game played on it. So they went down in they went up in good fashion. They're blasting their opponent, and they're perfect. They're 5-0, and in that game against Stevenson, Olivia Ursley went 2-for-3 with a walk, scored 3 runs for the Mountaineers, while Brooklyn Swenson had a hit, walked 3 times, scored 3 runs. And Aslan Taylor went 2-for-4. She drove in 3 runs. And pitcher Bailey Ewell struck out 7. It was just a 4-inning game, so 7's not a bad total for 4 innings worth of strikeouts. And lastly, they will have a track meet again this week. Didn't have one last week, but they will be part of a 7-team meet down at Tootle Lake on Thursday afternoon.
Okay, very good. Let's see, this next one, Tenino Beavers. I'm not sure if this can be right. I think they're coming off a loss to Black Hills and going to play Eatonville 3 times this week. Is that right?
I don't think that's probably correct because I doubt they would do that, but they will be playing them in a doubleheader on Tuesday. I do know that.
Okay.
But they are 5-3 now. That game he talked about to Black Hills, they lost that one 8-2. Kellen Knox drove in one of the runs for the Beavers. And softball will also play at Eatonville on Tuesday. They did not have a game this week. Soccer did play. They are 5-3. They lost to Elma last Friday, 5-0. And they're in third place, though. And they will next play second place Montesano at home on Wednesday night at 7. So that will be that'll be a big game for them to see how their standing holds up in the 1A Evergreen Conference. So
yeah,
when they're at home.
And I think Monty's also coming off a loss to Elma.
Yeah.
So they have that in common.
Elma appears to be, Elma's got it going on this year. And we'll see what happens between Tenino and Monty for the spot right behind them. And track and field will be in action at Elma. That'll be on Thursday, a 16 meet out there. And that is Tenino's week.
All right. All right, very good. Well, that is also going to do our first segment of the show this morning. Don't go away. We will be right back with 2A baseball. We got fast pitch and some other spring sports in our next segment. Tumwater coach Lyle Overbay and T-Bird pitchers Ryan Orr, Jordan Hansen, and Blake Smith. Later on in the show, the Elm girls with their good record. Despite those losses to Peninsula and Gig Harbor, Dave talked to Lindsey Walton, the coach, about the tornado, and we'll hear that. But first, weather, traffic, word from our sponsors. It's the Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Your route will be slowed in PL up on 512 eastbound towards the on-ramp of 167 as a result of an accident. Lanes are bundling up in Tacoma on I-5 northbound at Pacific Avenue. In Seattle on I-5 southbound at Ship Canal Bridge, a collision is partially blocking the right lane. That's the latest. From South Sound Traffic Control, I'm Aloisa Savis.
Sponsored by Rocket Mortgage. When you apply for a home loan, there are different options depending on your situation and needs. With Rocket Mortgage, you can see how different down payments, monthly payments, and closing costs will impact your loan and your budget. When you need a lender who works for you, Rocket can.
$1,000 cash.
Give us some money.
I need money.
Money? Money.
We need the money now.
The $1,000 a day cash giveaway is underway. Listen for the keyword at 7, 9, noon, and 5 each weekday to win $1,000. You can be next to win $1,000 a day in KGY's $1,000 a day payday. Powered in part by G3 Junk Removal.
Money!
Maybe you run or just run errands. Either way, you're moving. At Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, we offer a full range of services to diagnose, treat, or repair any concerns that you have with your foot or ankle. With multiple locations throughout the Pacific Northwest, we have a team dedicated to providing a positive office experience. We have the resources you need to help you return to a full and active lifestyle.
Helping you put your best foot forward, Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates.
It's back, the KGY Virtual Car Show, presented by Cut Rate Auto Parts. Car lovers, if you're like a lot of us, you can hardly wait for summer activities like driving around and heading to car shows. Am I right? Well, if you've been cooped up with nothing to do but work on your favorite ride, we've got just the thing for you. The KGY Virtual Car Show, powered by Cut Rate Auto Parts. February 18th through the end of March. Enter free by posting a photo of your car to KGYFM.com. Once entered, you could win a weekend getaway for two. The KGY Virtual Car Show with Cut Rate Auto Parts. Come on, join the fun.
Okay, let's have a serious discussion. You got hurt on the job, and now you can't work. Or maybe you were in a crash, and it wasn't your fault. Now you're dealing with an insurance company. You're losing wages, and the medical bills are piling up. Will the insurance money last as long as you're paying a disability? What if medical bills pop up down the line that you didn't foresee? Who's going to pay for that? Another thing, did you read the fine print? Did it make any sense at all? Maybe it's time to get a good law firm, one that's limited its practice to victims of workplace injuries and car accidents for over 40 years, a firm like Putnam Lee Potvin Daly, Catherine Potvin, Dustin Daly, and Laura Fedarko. They know what they're doing. So much so, they've been awarded honors as super lawyers and best lawyers of America. They're on your side. They'll fight for you to make things right. Don't be bullied by insurance companies. That's just adding insult to injury. Call award-winning attorneys Putnam Lee Potvin Daly today at 800-225-4529 or check PUTNAMLIEB.com.
This year, the Port of Olympia is recognizing 100 years of economic development and job creation in Thurston County. Discover how the Port of Olympia serves you. Stay connected to your port. Visit PortOlympia.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
5.3 on
the Venus KGY.
Let her go.
I did it right that time. Hey, welcome back. You're with Dave Weber and me, Noel Wall, on the Baseline, KGY's own high school sports roundup show, and the only sports roundup show like it in Thurston County. And we're here thanks to sponsors like Choice Regional Health Network. They are your partner for community health and services. Also, McKinney's Appliance with Maytag and Whirlpool Appliances to make your life easier. McKinney's Appliance delivered a refrigerator for me last Friday. You can find them on Martin Way in Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. And Dave, we're up to 2A in the Evergreen Conference. And Shelton High Climbers, they were 5-4, I think, before Rochester yesterday. I didn't look up that game, though.
Well, they were defeated by Rochester, and they are now 5-5. And in that game, Cole Schlender had two hits and drove in a pair of runs, and they will finish off that series today at 4:30 p.m. at home. So most of the high schools have taken to playing their baseball schedule with the games back-to-back, home and away, simulating college and pro, where they have the long series of games. So that will wrap up this afternoon. And in softball, Shelton fell to 3-6. They lost to Aberdeen last Friday, 9-1. And doesn't get any easier as they're going to travel to Tumwater on Wednesday to meet the T-Birds, who have been on a roll in softball. So tough one there for Shelton. Soccer, though, even worse. They're 0-4, and they lost at home on penalty kicks to Centralia last Friday. And they'll travel to Rochester for a 5:30 p.m. game this evening. And in track and field, they have a dual meet this week. It's interesting to see how these high school schedules go. A lot of times they have a three-way meet, but sometimes the league schedule dual meets as well, and this will be Shelton hosting Centralia on Thursday afternoon.
Okay. All right. Word from the hills there. All right, Rochester Warriors I had as 4-5 before Shelton, so they must also be 5-5 again then.
Indeed they are, and that was an 11-0 home victory for Rochester. Braden Hartley pitched a five-inning no-hitter. If it was the major leagues, you wouldn't get credit for a no-hitter, though, because they say you have to pitch a complete game to get it, and that was not really a complete. It was a complete game, but it wasn't seven innings, but obviously a dominant pitching performance by Braden. So good for him. And then on the offensive side, Hayden Pietras drove in three runs. Tate Kornstrom scored twice and drove in a run with a double. Ledger Anderson scored three times, and he drove in a run. And as we just mentioned, they'll conclude that series in Shelton this afternoon. And speeding right ahead into softball, they have a good record. They're up to 5-2 now. They beat Centralia last Friday 9-6. Sarah Hari had three hits, while both Lakota Escott and Lena Demers drove in two runs each. Rochester will be at WF West on Wednesday at 4:30, so that'll be a good test for how good Rochester actually is with that 5-2 record when they play one of the top teams in the league. Soccer, 2-7. They lost 1-0 at Tumwater last Friday, and they will host Shelton this afternoon at 5:30, and track will be on the road for a two-team meet on Wednesday.
Okay, very good. Moving on, Black Hills Wolves, doing pretty well. They hosted Centralia yesterday. I'm not sure what happened there.
Well, they got beat, but they are 7-3, as you mentioned, so they are having a good season. They played a couple of non-conference games and won them over North Mason and Tenino. And yesterday's game, if you look at the score, they got whooped. It was 13-7. But actually, it was kind of a heartbreaking game. They were tied at 7 going into the final inning. And then the visitors jumped all over the Wolves to score 6 runs and put the game away in the final inning. Although Parker Termina did have 3 hits for Black Hills, Tanner Parkinson got on hit safely twice. So, you know, not a game devoid of accomplishments for the Wolves. And they will also conclude their series today. They'll go down to Centralia for that. So baseball far ahead of softball at this point. They are still winless at 0-7. Really, talk about heartbreaking losses. They lost to perennial league powerhouse WF West 1-0.
Wow.
Right there. Yeah, they were right there with them, playing well with them, and just couldn't get it done. They've had a few games like that. They're not the classic 0-17 that's losing every game by 12 runs. They're, you know, they've had some close ones mixed in there, so they might be able to turn this thing around yet. And they will play Tuesday. They have a non-league game against 3A Capital at 4:30. And soccer hasn't played since we were last on the air, but they do play WF West tonight at home, 7:30 game. And on Wednesday, the Wolves will be together with Rochester again, but this time in track and field. They go to Tumwater for a three-way meet.
Okay, very good. And moving on to Tumwater, and we will go ahead and do the boys first. I have them 6-3 following a win over Aberdeen yesterday, and set to play the Bobcats again in what you've talked about, that here and there two-day series.
Yep. And they also beat Timberline earlier in the week, which is a good win. Timberline's not at its peak, I don't think, this year, but always a good program that has things well organized, and they did beat them. It was a kind of a slugfest type game. I think it was 11-9. And then yesterday they beat Aberdeen in my presence. I was there. 7-1 victory for the T-Birds. Third baseman Landon Roy drove in four runs with a pair of doubles. Derek Thompson was 2-for-3, hit a triple and scored three times. And Ryan Orr and Blake Smith, two of the guys we interviewed, they shared the pitching duties. And they will, I'll use one of my cliches here, the teams will conclude their series today in the Harbor City. Or is there a better way to describe Aberdeen?
No, that's pretty good.
Harbor City, okay.
Yeah.
So that's what will happen.
Yeah, on the road into town, it says come as you are. And on the bridge over the muddy Wishkaw, it says gateway to the Olympics. So should be the gateway to the Clam Beach. Actually.
Yeah, and then if you figure it out, you can find your way up the hill to the high school.
There you go.
I know how to do it now, but the first time I went out there, it was kind of a challenge to find it.
Oh, right. Cross the bridge and a quick right.
William Weatherwax?
Weatherwax. It's Weatherwax. Ben Weatherwax. Ben K.
Ben
Weatherwax.
Weatherwax High School, yeah.
One of the city's founders. Yep. And so you talked to Coach Overbay and the pitchers. Anything to set up the interview first with Coach?
Well, just that, you know, the T-Birds are contending in their league. They have a very good chance to outdo WF West for the title before it's all said and done. But that series takes place next week, and that will kind of tell the tale, I think, in a lot of ways, because those two teams aren't going to lose a lot of other games, although the T-Birds have lost a couple of league games already, so it will be important for them to try to sweep that to be able to stay on top. But we'll see how it happens.
All right. Well, here he is, Lyle Overbay.
How does this pitching staff you have this year rank amongst those you've seen at the high school level, either when you were playing or as a coach?
I don't see too many that are much better. I mean, at the 2A level. I mean, obviously, right, when you get get up in the 3As and 4A level, you'll have those opportunities. But man, it's for that kind of thing. It's something.
You're the pitcher around here. Oldie's got that much.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's I think that's where you look at it. That and it's a lot of their hard work too.
Yeah.
They've stuck together and they've done the stuff. So it's they put the time in and they're reaping the rewards now.
So they're all going to college, but are any of them draftable before that?
I think they might get drafted, but I don't think they would. I don't think so right now. I mean, they need to jump in a little bit on the velocity part, but
right.
They're all at least
90 though. Right?
Yeah, they keep progressing. Yeah. So it's like you just keep progressing and
you never know. Things.
You never know exactly.
So talk about a little bit about each guy's stuff, what they throw.
Okay, so Blake, he's got good sink, good run sink. He's 88 to 90. Real good command of his pitches, but I think he's the one that can get outs quick, get a good sinker and ground ball, and knows what he's doing. As far as hitters and trying to, we've been working on that as far as knowing what to do and all that. So he's got a good idea. Ryan is just a dominant pitcher. Really, probably one of the best curveballs we've seen. When he gets out in front of it, sometimes he was getting behind it and wasn't getting it out and it wasn't snapping. But when it snaps and it's hard. So he's very, when you see that ball coming at you, with a curveball, right? Yeah, you're going to bail, yeah. And then all of a sudden you got to stay with the fastball. Yeah. And, you know, his fastball's at 90, 92, so it's not slacking there either. Yeah. I think probably Jordan Hansen's probably got the most upside as far as just being a big kid. And he's really jumped in his...
He's going to Vegas.
He's going to Vegas, yeah. So
I just don't like that very much, do you?
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, that's my coach that was at UNR is down there now.
Oh, is
so,
he?
Yeah. So that's kind of I feel like he's very fluid. He locates well. He's probably got the best as far as all three pitches command on a consistent basis. So.
What about the rest of the team? I mean, who's been doing well offensively?
I think that. Most of the top of the lineup. Braden Norm. Mm-hmm. He's been our catcher, and he's normally a shortstop, but we're down a catcher, so
okay.
He's really stepped in and helped us out there. But he's going to be one of our better hitters. Alex, my boy, he's been driving the ball, and just it's fun to see what they do in the off season. And see their hard work kind of paying off. So
yeah.
It's fun. So it's,
He playing quarterback made a difference for Alex to give him more confidence.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Because he had to really take charge of that. And that was something that mid-season, he had to learn too. Yeah, he had to learn that. And they weren't going to give it to him until he learned it. So it was fun.
So what do you think the outlook would be for the rest of the season? How far do you think you can take this?
The sky's the limit for these guys. I mean, obviously our pitching is the top. I mean, I think our hitting, we've got some young guys that haven't seen a lot of varsity pitching, so they're gonna go through some struggles, but they're starting to see that they can hit up here and to get that confidence, and I think that's the biggest thing. Once they get the confidence, then the sky's the limit.
When do you play WFS?
We play them next week.
Next week.
So that'll be big because they're just as tough too.
So you got this pitching staff. But they're all seniors. What's it look like coming up behind them?
We've got some guys. I mean, they're definitely not the hard throwers, but I think they mix and match a lot better as far as because these guys have been very successful with their fastball because they throw hard. Where all these other guys, they're throwing strikes and mixing up their location and different pitches. So they've got good stuff. I mean, my boy does. Braden Norm, he's coming back. He hasn't had much opportunity. We've got Aiden, and we've got some young guys coming up too. So.
And there's Coach Lyle Overbay, Tumwater Baseball. And here are pitchers Ryan Orr, Jordan Hansen, and Blake Smith. They're all D1 commits.
Have you guys all known each other a long time?
Since probably Jordan, by the way. Yeah. Probably since we were like 10. Me and Ryan have played since we were like 9. And then Blake started playing with Ryan. And then we all started playing together when we were like 11.
So well before high school.
Yes.
How much does that help at the high school level?
Blake Smith. I think it helps a lot because we just have that connection and that we have that bond together that we've always played with each other. We've always known each other, that we have that team chemistry.
Ryan, by the way.
Yeah.
Playing young just like helps you get to really know each other when you're older, so I just think that helps you play better when you're older.
So how about the fact that you got three guys standing here that are going to go play Division I baseball? Does it help you when you're on the mound to know? Is there any positive to that when you yourself are pitching? To know that the staff is so strong.
Blake Smith. I think that it just puts it intimidates the other team knowing that they don't know who they're going to face. That they have 3D1 arms that anyone's going to come after them any given time.
Jordan, I agree too. Like, they won't know what they're facing. We all kind of have like a different pitch mix and like arm slots, so it could be Blake's running in 16 inches or mine tailing a little bit, and then Ryan's like more like firm, so it could be different.
Anything to add to that?
Yeah, Ryan, just knowing that like when you're pitching and you can have someone come behind you, that's just as good. Just gives you more confidence and helps you pitch better as well.
What is your approach on the mound? What are you trying to do? What do you want to establish?
Just trying to establish low in the zone and then work off that with my curveball and changeup and just pitch to contact.
Yeah. Jordan?
Jordan, I just try to attack the hitter. I just think that in the mindset, I'm better than them, and they don't deserve to be in the batter's box. And I just want to strike them out. And
so you say attack hitter, you mean with the fastball?
Yeah, make them look silly, I guess.
Right.
Blake Smith, my mentality when I'm up there is just go shove it down their throat and run my fastball and jam them every time because my fastball moves a lot. So I just want to bury that fastball and throw that slider right off that and just make them look silly.
How did each of you decide you're going to Seattle U? How did you figure out to go there?
Well, besides the offer side, I just thought it was a great campus. I thought it was like up in Seattle. I mean, when I first thought of it, I was like, oh, I don't want to go there. But then when I went up there, it just felt like its own little home. And now that we have our pitching coach, Carter Capps, it just helped finalize it. He played with
it's kind of a nice little downtown ballpark.
Yeah. But
Jordan, UNLV, what about that?
So I had originally two options were Seattle U and UNLV, but I kind of wanted to go somewhere warm and, like, make my own path, and I just liked it more there because me and Blake both went there last summer for, like, a camp thing, PBR thing, and I liked the field a lot and the campus. It was really nice weather there.
Okay. Ryan, what about WSU?
They gave me a really good offer, and then I just feel like I have a chance to pitch there when I'm a freshman, so that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I noticed you stayed in the lineup after you were done pitching today. Do you have any chance of playing two-way at WSU?
No, I'm just going to pitch there.
What are you guys' goals for this team the rest of the way? What's your realistic goal for how far you can go?
State. Jordan, I think just every game we want to win, just don't think about the next game, just think about this game and focus on winning, hitting the ball, throwing strikes. But the end goal is State.
Okay. Yeah, our end goal is put a big banner up in the gym, but we're going to do that by getting next game, which is tomorrow.
Yep. What about you, Ryan?
Obviously State, win the state title. We haven't never done that before. And I feel like we have the team. We just got to play together as one.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate you waiting.
All right, there are T-Bird pitchers, Ryan Orr, Jordan Hansen, and Blake Smith, and before them, Lyle Overbay. Dave, those three guys go to D1 schools. Does the name of your coach help, you know, in a situation like this?
Well, I mean, apparently it helped with Jordan because he's going to UNLV, which is, if people were paying rapt attention to the Overbay interview, that was Lyle's coach at University of Nevada, Reno.
Right.
When he played in college. But, yeah, I think, I mean, if your coach used to be in the major leagues, it probably carries a little bit of weight. But, you know, Division I sports in the modern era when not only is there better communication, there's more video, there's and you've got these, of which I used to be one, these psycho parents that are pushing their kids.
Yes.
Giving them every opportunity to develop physically and get skills and train them for everything under the sun. The competition for those spots is tremendous. And, you know, your coach could be Willie Mays and you're not getting a Division I offer unless you're really good. So I think probably the positive effect is having a major leaguer that coaches you. You probably learn some things about baseball that you wouldn't learn that'll translate into that video that you send out to the coaches or the statistics the coaches look at. Yesterday, I'm assuming it was a professional scout since they're all signed or all committed to colleges. There was a guy out there with the radar gun on Ryan Orr when he started the game. He left when Smith came on, so obviously must be some pro team that's going to try to dissuade Orr from going to Washington State. But as Overbay mentioned, you know, these guys may need a little bit more development before they're ready to turn pro. But, you know, like I said, it can't hurt to have a former major leaguer as your coach, but you got to be good.
Yep.
That's bottom line. I think one of the things that just drives me nuts about all sports is, you know, it kind of comes to a point with the basketball so-called GOAT argument between LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and people that are on Jordan's side will try to tell you that the 90s were better for basketball. Nothing was better in the 90s. Michael Jordan may have been better, but overall no sport was as good in the 90s as it is today. I mean, it always, if you look at track or swimming or anything, the times get lower, right? I mean,
yes,
people
right.
get better at these sports. And I don't think there's ever been a time in history where kids, and this could be good or it can be bad. If it works out for the kid, it's good. If it, you know, scars them, it's bad. But I don't think there's been a time in history when parents and youth coaches and everybody takes an interest in the top kids right off the bat and puts them through every conceivable exercise to improve them. It's all part of it. You know, having the big leaguer for a coach is part of this intensity that goes on now for athletes as they're growing up. But in the end, it comes down to the best guys get those scholarships.
Yeah, and as you said earlier in the show, we got quite a few in the area this year with six on two teams.
That's remarkable. I mean, and those schools are what, 3 or 4 miles apart?
Right.
I mean, you're looking at, you just get on Capitol Way and head down towards Tumwater, and in that span, you've got 6 guys that are going to be playing in Division One, and 3 of them actually will end up at Washington State with Rylan Hyder at Olympia and Ryan Orr from Tumwater, and then next year when Sax Mattson, who's a junior at Olympia this year, he'll join them in Pullman. So, just remarkable. And then a few years ago, we had kind of the same thing at WF West. Had Brandon White, who was drafted by the Dodgers, but chose to go out to Washington State and play. And then there was Guerrero, who started, I think, at Washington State, ended up at Washington, transferred to the arch rival. But, yeah, there's been some arms around here in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's see. We're still on Tumwater. Let's talk about the girls. They're going to play Shelton, I think, midweek.
They're going to play Shelton, and they will be, I'll put this in quotes because I don't think they're going to lose to Shelton, but they will be risking a perfect 6-0 record in that game. Didn't play this week, but they have, among those 6 victories, they have had some resounding run rule type wins, 19-2, 17-0 type wins. So definitely going to be keeping an eye on the T-Birds as they continue in the softball season, because they may end up going just as far, if not farther, than the boys' baseball team.
All right, that'll be fun. Soccer's also doing fairly well.
Yeah, and they had that 1-0 victory over Rochester. And I did not write down who they're going to play next, so I'm going to apologize for that. But
well, I saw Centralia tonight, and
I'll go with that then.
Check that out.
Pretty sure that's it. If you've got it, and in the last sport we always talk about, track and field, they will host a 3-way meet with Black Hills and Rochester on Wednesday.
All right, very good. That is going to get us through the 2A in the next segment of the show. Don't go away. There's a lot coming up. Let's see. What do we got? 3A. And then we also have that look at Yelm girls. They did have some recent losses, but otherwise they're doing really well. And Dave talked with Coach Lindsay Walton about the tornado. So that'll come up in our 3A segment. First off, though, a look at traffic, weather, and a word from our sponsors. Don't go away. It's the Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Your route will be slowed in Puyallup on 512 eastbound towards the on-ramp of 167 as the result of an accident. Lanes are bundling up in Tacoma on I-5 northbound at Pacific Avenue. In Seattle on I-5 southbound at Ship Canal Bridge, a collision is partially blocking the right lane. That's the latest. From South Sound Traffic Control, I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Is that the sound of an ooey-gooey, cheesy, crunchy slice of P-I-Z-Z-A? Obviously. But as good as that sounds, we think it can get even better. Oh, yeah, that's the sound of a freshly opened fizz-filled Pepsi. The only thing that can take this flavor medley of crunchy dough, mouth-watering cheese, and savory sauce to the next level. How about another bite? Pepsi and pizza sound like a match made in heaven and taste even better. Pizza, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
You got junk on your property that you want to get rid of this spring? Well, spring is here. Get rid of that junk. Call your local experts in junk removal. Call G3 Junk Removal. That's G3 Junk Removal. They'll give you an estimate at no charge. Hey, it doesn't hurt to get a free estimate on removing junk from your property. Get in touch with G3 Junk Removal. They're the experts with more junk in their trunk because they're helping you get it off your property. Get that ish out of here with G3 Junk Removal. Online at g3junkremovalwa.com.
Sports fans, Fin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Fin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia. Online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Friends, Spin Tees on Facebook.
Celebrate spring break at the Hands-On Children's Museum. Meet a vulture and an eagle owl up close and explore real dinosaur bones. Spring Break Weeks at Hands-On is sponsored by T-Mobile. Online reservations required. Visit HOCM.org.
KGY.
A chance of morning rain before showers arrive, and maybe a thunderstorm too. Partly sunny at some point before the winds arrive, and the pattern continues tonight and tomorrow. Today's highs low to mid 50s.
Let her go.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Baseline, Thurston County's high school sports roundup show right here on KGY. You are with Dave and Noel, thanks to sponsors like Cutrate Auto Parts. If you can't part with your car, Cutrate has your car's part. And with L&E Bottling, thanks for their constant support of our coverage of high school sports right here on KGY. We're up to 3A, and let's start with the River Ridge Hawks, and I don't really know much about what happened. They play Montesano later this week. I'm not sure what's going on.
They might, but that's not their next game.
Okay.
They play their... They're 4-6. They split a series with Central Kitsap since we last were on the air, and then they will host Yelm on Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Maybe Montesano after that. I don't know. I can't. You know, I'm like the teams, one day at a time.
So yeah.
I just go with the next game, and that appears to be against Yelm on Tuesday. Softball not quite as successful as the guys who are just under 500. Softball's 1-8. They lost to Capital and Timberline by identical 11-1 scores. So they've been struggling a little bit, and they will host North Thurston on Monday at 4 p.m. Soccer is off. They will play Monday against Capital at home. And I assume that means South Sound Stadium, but it could be on campus, so check that out for sure before you go. And then there will be a three-way track meet with the Hawks and Central Kitsap at Timberline. According to the schedule, Timberline does have a nice track now. Not a lot of seating out there, so I'm assuming it's at Timberline because that's what it says on the schedule, but that also might be at South Sound Stadium, so people may want to double check that if you want to go watch the Hawks and Blazers in that track meet.
Okay, very good. North Thurston, the Rams. I'm not sure how accurate I am, but I see a Central Kitsap home and away series this week.
You are correct, sir.
Okay, I got one right.
They are 5-7 overall. They beat Centralia, and then they split their league series with Peninsula this week. And in Wednesday's 6-0 shutout of the Seahawks, Caden Melzer had a complete game three hitter, while Keanu Salva had a pair of hits. And as you mentioned, the Rams will be at Central Kitsap to start that two-game series on Tuesday at 4. And the softball, 2-5. They got a win. They pounded out an 11-8 non-league win over 2A Steilacoom last Friday, and they will play at River Ridge Monday at 4. And they had soccer last night. They fell to 4-4. They got beat 4-0 at Peninsula in soccer.
Ouch.
And they will, it's hard. That's a tough one, especially on the road way up in Gig Harbor. You got to drive back thinking about it.
Yep.
But then they will travel to Capital for a game on Tuesday at 7. And I think, no, we haven't talked about this yet because none of these schools have been mentioned, but Capital and North Thurston will be in a triangular track meet at Yelm on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. All right, Timberline, the Blazer boys, I see you at 2-5 with Peninsula coming up.
A little bit better than that. They're 5-6.
That's good.
They lost to Tumwater and Gig Harbor since our last show, and they do host Peninsula, and that'll be at the Rack on Monday at 4. Don't know why that's not going to be at the school, but it's on the schedule for the Rack, so that one we can tell you with some certainty where it's going to be. Softball,
right.
After a great season last year, they're only 3-6, but they did run rule River Ridge 11-1 on Tuesday. And in that game, Emily Thompson doubled and drove in 3 runs, scored twice more, while Tori Trotter, who was the MVP of the league last year, she doubled and drove in 3 runs. And their sophomore pitcher, Jasmine Polanco, struck out 11 and gave up just 3 hits across the 5 innings before the 10-run rule kicked in. And they will host Capital Monday at 4.
All right. Very good there. How about soccer?
Soccer was on a tear. They'd won a bunch of games in a row, but this week they lost to both Gig Harbor schools by 5-0 margins, so they fell to 6-5, still over 500, and they will be at Yelm on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And in track and field, they'll be hosting a three-way meet with River Ridge and Central Kitsap on Tuesday. Once again, not exactly sure if that's on their spanking new track on campus or if it will be at South Sound Stadium. I think back to my own child's days as a Timberline track athlete. They did have a meet or two at home, even on the crummy track they had in those days. So they may be actually at home. It's a nice facility now, but not a lot of seating. So I'm wondering if maybe they still have their meets at South Sound.
All right. Well, we'll move on out to the Prairie where the Yelm boys are struggling, but the girls are doing pretty well.
That's a good way to put it. The baseball team is now 2-8. They lost to Steilacoom, got swept by Capital, and they will play at River Ridge in the first game of the series Tuesday at 4. Softball, as you mentioned, they're 7-3. They had lost a non-league game, I think, to Jackson. And then they lost to Gig Harbor 11-7 last Friday. They have lost to both of the Gig Harbor schools, which we mentioned were not in the league last year when Yelm pretty much had some close games with Timberline and nothing else that was competitive at all. And in the past, even with the the couple of years that there was the South Sound Conference that it did include Peninsula and Gig Harbor, it was still Yelm soaring to victory quite easily most of the time. However, they're, you know, just slightly younger than usual, as Coach Walden will tell on the interview, not as laden with power hitters as they sometimes have been. And so it's been a little bit harder for them to put together wins, but they are still 7-3. And in their loss to Gig Harbor last Friday, Kendall Lawson, Molly Embry, and Leia Hicks each had two hits. So they've got hitters, but as Coach Walden said, maybe not home run hitters per se. And they will be at Central Kitsap Monday at 3:30. Not sure why, but the softball teams are not doing the series thing. They're just going one game at a time. I think they're playing a double round robin, but they're just not doing it the way the guys are.
Yeah, I noticed that, which I thought was kind of interesting because it actually seems like fun to see the same team, you know, twice in a row like that.
It's true. I don't know why they're doing it that way. It may be that, the tradition of the sport, you know, softball at the highest level, like in the Division One college ranks, they probably do play series in league, but a lot of their competitions are tournaments where you're playing a different team each day or even twice a day you're playing a different team. So maybe that has something to do with it. Baseball, you know, you go back to 18 whatever in the major leagues, they were having 3- and 4- game series and they've continued to do that. Baseball at the college level, they talk about the Friday night ace because you always pitch your best pitcher on Friday,
right?
And then you play the same team Saturday and Sunday. So it may be just more traditional for baseball to do that, and baseball coaches wanted to make that part of the high school game as well.
All right, well, here we go. Here is we better get the show underway. Yelm coach Lindsey Walton right here.
Hi, we're with Lindsey Walton, the head coach of Yelm High School girls softball, and you're off to another pretty good start this year, but I did notice that you've taken a couple of losses. What's accounted for that?
I mean, we did have a couple of weeks of a lot of games. We played up because we're on spring break right now. We've played 10 games in the last, 2 weeks prior to spring break starting up. So it's been a lot. Not making excuses for us at all. Peninsula, good team this year. Gig Harbor, another good hitting team. We just have to offensively bring a better game. And, we do put up some errors on the field. Sometimes they affect us, sometimes they don't. But bottom line is other teams have been scoring almost every inning, and we are not. So we need to up our offensive game a little bit. And when we get runners on, we got to find a way to push them across the plate. So I think that's ultimately what has contributed to those two losses for the most part is our low offensive stats.
So I noticed that Vivian Watts has been the mainstay pitching most of the innings How has she been so far?
Yeah, Vivian, she's been doing a great job for us. She, if you were going to say, do I have a starter? She's one who I would go to or, to start out. She's the veteran on the team as far as our pitching staff goes. She's a senior. We have a sophomore and a freshman who can throw. So she's definitely one that players look up to for advice and, you know, to kind of be that rock out there on the mound. She makes the players put the ball in play. That's what all a pitcher really needs to do. And you got to trust your defense. So, you know, our team's going to get hits in the gap. Yeah, they will. But we got to be able to stop those plays that come right to us. So she's doing her job. And the other pitchers are kind of following suit. We've been using a lot of them. Like, we'll use Vivian for a few innings, and then we'll throw another pitcher in there for a few innings. So it's kind of a group effort. Vivian has been doing a great job for us so far.
And you mentioned needing to get on base more and move the runners along since you don't have the overpowering sluggers like a couple of the other teams do. What are you focused on to do that? Are you focused on pitch selection or what?
Yes. We do need to be more disciplined at the plate. We need to probably see more pitches and still, you know, I like being aggressive going after that first pitch. But you can't do that every inning because, you know, if a pitcher's only throwing five pitches an inning, you know, that's not helping anybody out on our end. Right. So it's like, you know, sometimes you might have to change up, your approach at the plate and, you know, maybe you take a first pitch strike, make that pitcher throw more, make her get deeper into the count so we can, you know, just see more. But also, you know, makes them more tired. The more pitches they throw, the tired they get. Sometimes they miss. So pitch selection, yes, we need to be more disciplined and swing at stuff in our zone. But I just want to see us hitting the ball more solid. We're missing a little bit, so quite a few pop-ups that if we just, you know, like I said, we just missed to where it's probably a base hit. So we just need to work on getting more solid contact. And if we hit them hard right at people, eventually they'll start falling.
So who have been some of the more successful hitters to this point?
You know, when looking at stats most recently, Kendall Lawson, she is our catcher, senior. She has been getting on base fairly often. She's doing a good job. She's been slapping from the left side. She can hit it hard as a slap, or she can kind of put down a bunt and get on base. So she's been fairly successful. Alyssa DeWeese is also another lefty slapper. She's a sophomore on the team. And she has, she's actually been hitting the ball for power. She hit a home run, at River Ridge, earlier in the week, last week. And she can hit for power too from the left side, not just slapping, but hitting as well. And she's very, very quick. Leah Hicks has been hitting the ball. She's, one of our freshmen. When she gets in, she gets the job done. She hits the ball hard and solid. Unfortunately, a few of those hits have been right at people, but she has been a nice surprise for us this season as a freshman coming on our team.
And you obviously in the past have been fairly successful in the postseason. You haven't gotten the big trophy yet, but you've gotten really close. What do you foresee this team being able to do as the playoffs unfold?
You know, at this point, coming off of those two losses, I got to change my mindset. We got to take it one game at a time. And, you know, make it through league and then, set a goal for district ultimately. Yeah. Everyone's goal is to make it to state, but we got to do, you know, one pitch at a time, one, grounder at a time, just small goals, in order to hopefully reach that end goal of making it to the state tournament. So, you know, like I said, having those two losses, that's tough. And, hard to swallow at times too, but yeah. You know, you learn a lot. You learn a lot from losses. And, I think, it's a good thing that they happened.
Okay. Well, very good. That's some good stuff about your team and good luck the rest of the way.
And all right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
That is, Lindsay Walton, the girls fast pitch coach for Yelm. And, yeah, Dave, we better kind of finish up with Yelm here and quick.
Okay. So they, I think we said they'll be at Central Kitsap on Monday for softball, and then the soccer is 1-7-1. They lost to Gig Harbor 6-0, and they will host Capital on North Thurston in a triangular track meet on Wednesday.
All right, we talked about that. Great. We are going to come back in our next segment. We're going to talk about Capital Cougars and the Olympia Bears. There's a lot to come. Don't go away. We're going past the top of the hour again. It is The Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Your route will be slowed in PEL up on 512 eastbound towards the on-ramp of 167 as a result of an accident. Lanes are bundling up in Tacoma on I-5 northbound at Pacific Avenue. In Seattle on I-5 southbound at Ship Canal Bridge, a collision is partially blocking the right lane. That's the latest. From South Sound Traffic Control, I'm Aloisa Estevez.
Sponsored by Taco Bell. Give yourself a new morning routine with the Bell Breakfast Box from Taco Bell. It's filled with a grande toasted breakfast burrito, hash brown, two Cinnabon Delights, and a coffee. Swing by participating locations for a limited time only. Drinks excludes freezes.
Are we ready for a little fun? Yes. This is Rick Dees. I can't wait to meet you here this weekend. The weekly Top 40 Countdown is ready to go. Do we have some Dees Lees for everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go out on a limb with the weekly Top 40 Sure Shot. You can win huge prizes.
I'm amazed.
The weekly Top 40 Countdown here this weekend. We'll see you.
Rick Dees Retro Top 40 this Saturday from 8 o'clock right here at Olympia's KGY.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
Do it yourself? Since 1955, Cut-Rate Auto Parts has been making it easier. From expert advice to a huge selection of parts at discount prices to their AutoBox Rewards program, they're there for you. DIY is even easier with Cut-Rate's Do-It-Yourself Plus. They'll help you hook up a new battery, test your alternator, install your new windshield wiper blades, or diagnose what that check engine light needs. Great prices, great value, and a little help with Do-It-Yourself Plus. Do it with them today at Elma, Aberdeen, Shelton, or Lacey, or check out CutRateAutoParts.com.
Cut-Rate Auto Parts. We got your part.
Hi, this is Greg Seals from Crane's Total Office. 37 years ago this month, I came to work at Crane's. Many things have changed, but one thing that remains consistent is the service level that we provide. Whether you're a big business, small business, or working from home, we'll always have you covered with every office supply and furniture that you may need. And we deliver. Please remember to shop local. It keeps our local economy strong. Visit us in-store or online at cranesoffice.com.
Crane's Total Office is the official office supply store of 95.3 KGY.
Welcome back to the newest game show on radio, Fantasy Bud Commander, where we always open an envelope to reveal a new special at Bud Commander in Tumwater. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This product has an intoxicating effect and may be habit-forming. Cannabis can impair the concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. For use only by adults 21 or older, keep out of reach of children.
Okay, the envelope.
Let's open this one like a sesame. Get it? Open sesame? Never mind. Opening the envelope, and it says Super Senior Saturdays. That's 20% off Saturdays for all of us senior citizens.
Woo-hoo. Yes. And there it is. Thanks for tuning in to the newest game show on radio, Fantasy Bud Commander, where we always open an envelope to reveal a new special at Bud Commander in Tumwater. Until next time, visit Bud Commander on Trousper Road in Tumwater.
Bud Commander!
Are you ready?
At Lowe's, every pro is an MVP to us. No matter how big or small your business is, earn back when you spend, get exclusive offers and paint rewards. It all adds up to help level up your business. Join Lowe's MVP's Pro Rewards and Partnership Program today. Minimum purchase required. Earnings and paint rewards awarded as Lowe's e-gift cards. Exclusions, restrictions, and more terms apply. Valid through 12/31/22. See Lowe's.com/L/Pro Loyalty Terms. Subject to change. U.S. only.
We're planning a trip to Spain later this year, but
but our Spanish
is pretty bad. So we're using Babbel.
Babbel's conversation-based method teaches you real-life words and phrases. And with Babbel's interactive, bite-sized lessons, you'll remember what you learned.
There's no easier way to learn another language.
Ahora hablamos español.
He just said, now we speak Spanish.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
The Olympia Union Gospel Mission is here to help transform and change lives. Donate to the Olympia Union Gospel Mission at OUGM.org. The Olympia Union Gospel Mission is proud to celebrate KGY's centennial.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment for my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at UHC.com. Plan benefits may vary.
Let her go.
And yes, we are back once again. It is the Baseline on Olympia's KGY, where we're back to talk about the capital city. And we'll start with the Capital Cougars. And Dave, the boys, I got it 3-3. Is that right? Am I anywhere close?
I think so. And they've been off for a week, so it hasn't changed at all. And they will host Bonnie Lake today in a home game. That's a non-league game, obviously. But could be a good one. And then softball, 2-6. They beat River Ridge last Friday, and they will be at Timberline on Monday at 4 p.m. Soccer, though, still looking for a victory. They're 0-5-2.
Ouch.
They lost at home. Yeah, and they lost at home 3-0 to Central Kitsap on Tuesday. A little unusual for the Capital boys. They've usually been pretty good at soccer, always had a couple of star quality type players, but we'll see how they improve if they do later. And their first chance to do that will be against, I believe, is it another winless team or a team with one victory? River Ridge also has not been doing too well, and they will play them on Monday at 4 o'clock. Wait a minute, is that correct? I may have said that wrong. Nope, runner. They're on the road Monday at 7, not at 4 o'clock, right. 7, a night game. And the biggest news for Capital, as it has been often the last couple of years, is in track and field, and it involves the Mall Sisters, but it does not involve the pole vault, as the twins are apparently not going to vault in high school meets until the Shaner meet, which is the track and field fans around here know is kind of like the county championship between all the Thurston County schools from the different classifications held at Tumwater. But meanwhile, Hannah Mall has the state's top time in the 100 hurdles at 14.81. And when I say the state's top time, not just 3A, but all classifications by 0.2 of a second, which is pretty significant in a race that short.
Yeah.
J.C. Ona Garrow Holt of Emerald Ridge is behind her, but not close. And that took place last Saturday at the Arnie Young Invitational up in Renton. Sean Jackson won the boys 400 for the Cougars, and I'm going to say something here and see if anybody gets it. He had a crazy PR of 50.51, and that is a joke because in California, when the police call in for a mentally disturbed individual, they call him a 51.50.
So oh, right. Okay.
That was a crazy PR for Sean in that one. But, you know, I can't really stress too much how the significance of Hannah Mall having the state's best time in the 100 hurdles. Not very often they have someone with world-class ability in one event that just casually goes into another event and has the state's top mark. I mean, there's people that'll be really, really good at a lot of different events, no doubt about it. But the absolute top mark when it's not your specialty is pretty impressive.
That is amazing.
And speaking of track and field, the Cougars, I think we probably said this about three times already, but they will join North Thurston in a three-way meet at Yelm on Wednesday. And the season will continue to roll on for the Cougar track team.
All right. And across town at Olympia, Bears boys doing pretty well, and I think play South Kitsap today.
Yep, they're 7-2. They beat Sumner and Bellarmine Prep since we last talked, but they lost to Puyallup, which is a powerful team, in a 7-0 rout of Bellarmine on Wednesday. Evan Nickel drove in two runs, and Rylan Hyder pitched a three-hit shutout, fanning 10 batters. And as you said, they will play today. That'll be at up at South Kitsap at 4 p.m.
All right. The girls doing very well, and they're going to face a team on tough times.
Yeah, they couldn't really do much better. They're perfect at 8-0, and they beat Rogers 9-0 on Wednesday. And in that game, Alyssa Hoff had three hits, while Gracie Ray and Ava Bautista had two hits and three RBIs each. And Sammy Potvin fashioned a six-hit shutout, striking out not one, not two, but 15 batters.
Wow.
So pretty good old-fashioned. It's interesting to see she gave up six hits and then struck out 15. So there was a feast or famine for Rogers. Not that six hits is a lot, but you would think that when someone's striking out 15, the other team would have trouble getting their bat on the ball, but it still was a shutout. And they will play Tuesday against Bellarmine, which, as you said, has not been as good as some of the other teams. But, yeah, Olympia softball just rolling. I mean, they've got all those hitters. They have Potvin on the mound. They've got other pitchers that they don't use as often because they're not as good as her, but they can still get people out. So they're kind of set up to do really well this year.
Yeah.
And soccer is 5-4. They lost to Puyallup and then beat Rogers. And they will play at Graham Kapowsin Tuesday at 7:30. And in track and field, the Bears have been idle since our last show, but they will compete in the Arcadia Invitational down in Southern California both today and tomorrow. Don't know how many of their athletes actually went down there, but you know, they usually do that with a few of their top competitors. They'll take them out of state, either to Oregon or California. And this year they're going to Arcadia.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. There we go. Thank you very much. I know you wanted to mention a Timberline player who is transferring yet again.
Well, you know, I don't know how many people in the history of any sport have played at four NC2A Division I universities, but former Timberline star Eric Stevenson, who helped take the Blazers to the Tacoma Dome one year and was the Olympians' all-area player of the year, he's going to do just that. Started out at Wichita State for 2 years, and he went to the University of Washington for a year. This year he was at South Carolina, where he was the Gamecocks' second-leading scorer at 11.6 points per game, but their legendary coach, Frank Martin, finally came to the end of his run there. They decided to replace him. So Stevenson has already played 4 years, but they have that option to play a fifth because of COVID-19. And he's going to move on to play for yet another coaching legend. He'll play for Bob Huggins at West Virginia University next season. And just a really interesting career for Eric. He is a 1,000-point scorer at the D1 level, but he won't end up in anybody's media guide as being in their 1,000-point club because chunks of it came at four different schools. Well, chunks of it came at three different schools already, and they'll add to it at West Virginia. But just a really interesting career. He's going to have a ton of stories to tell about playing for Coach Martin and Coach Huggins. So interesting career. Probably not for everybody, but it's worked out well for him, and he'll have one more season in the big time at Virginia, West Virginia.
All right. Well, thank you for that. That's a really interesting story right there. The Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission, I think we talked about this a little bit, is going to present the fifth sports awards. They recognize local athletes, coaches, and game changers in our community. You can nominate high school, college, and recreational athletes or coaches, as well as leaders and influencers for one of seven awards. Nominations open till June 30th. And winners can be chosen by the Sports Commission and be recognized November 3rd. So here's the categories. They're both college and high school sports star of the year, both male and female for that. Also contributors of the year, sports moment of the year, Thurston County sports legends. Dave, you see a lot of games. You see a lot of athletes. You've got to expect to know the names of some of these, you know, stars and stuff like that who might get nominated for this thing.
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of people over the years that have done a lot of good things. One of the things I really like about these awards is that they have one for the male and female college athlete of the year from the area. That has been something that I've found. You know, we just talked about Eric Stevenson, but a lot of times there's two categories of those. There's the people that play for St. Martin's, Evergreen, or South Puget Sound. They kind of get ignored during their season, and really there hasn't been a lot done. We were doing it for a while. We had the Where Are They Now segment that we were doing regularly. We haven't done as much of that lately. The newspaper seldom writes about people that go out of town to play sports. So to actually have an award that's focused on people from the area that are playing in college, I think that's a really good move, because the high schools tend to get covered really well. But to do the colleges is an excellent addition. And then, of course, to recognize the people that have been around for a long time and done a lot of different things to help boost sports in the area. That's another good one. But I particularly appreciate the college one just because it's a very underappreciated part of the scene.
All right. Well, there you have it. The Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission Awards nominations open through June 30th. There is a link on our website. You can find the nomination forms there. We do want to thank Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates for helping us bring the show today online at anklefoot.net. Also, Spin Tees. You can find them at spinteesprints.com. And Putnam, Lieb, Potvin, Daily, taking the insult out of injury. Premier workers' compensation and car accident attorneys. The show is brought to you by, in part, a passion for high school sports coverage, but mostly by our sponsors, and we appreciate that you support them. They have been very good to us. Thanks to executive producer Kevin the Brit Huffer, also Nat George, who helped out today, keeping us on the air. Thank you for listening this morning. If you missed something, find the podcast on 95.3 KGY's website. You can catch the show again next Friday. We'll be here at 8 o'clock right now. Time for the Workday Weekday Kickoff. It's 95.3 Olympia's KGY.